I ask you to turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Now, you may have caught my little plea to you yesterday that that you would read all of Romans chapter 8. And I asked some people here this morning with us if they read Romans 8, and they both said no. One said yes. I stand corrected. Which is all good. The reason why I asked you to read Romans 8 is because the passage that we're starting out with today is Romans 8, verse 31, where it says, "What then shall we say in response to these things?" And the thing that you need to ask yourself is, what are these things that we're saying that we are responding to? And that comes in Romans 8, and in Romans 7, and in Romans 6, and in Romans 5 as well. And so all I did was just ask you to read Romans 8. But that's fine if you haven't done that already. I'll give you a brief synopsis, if I can, about Romans 8. Romans is about the Apostle Paul giving instruction in his very logical and methodical manner to bring Christ to the realization of the Roman church. You see, Paul didn't visit Rome before he wrote his letter to Rome. Usually when Paul writes a letter, he knows the people personally, like to the people in Ephesus or to the people in Corinth. He knows the people there. He started the church there. And so he knows the people that he's talking to. But here in Rome, Paul hasn't been there yet, and he's written this letter because he's heard some of the struggles. And largely, the struggles have to do with the Jewish believers, the Jewish believers of Christianity who's come to Christ, but they're having some troubles trying to figure it all out. And Paul's telling them what it means to be saved through faith, primarily. Saved through faith, and what that looks like. And so Paul gets into this long discourse from chapters 5 through 8, and then he stops that thought and then continues with chapter 9, starts another thought. And so at the very end of all that discussion, of that one thought, he comes to verse 31 of chapter 8, where he says, and we'll just read this together to the end of the chapter, "What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charges against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us, praying for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." And that's where we'll end the reading today. You know, if you all were here today, I would ask you, as I ask you several times, who here likes watching sports on TV? And I would put up my hand like this, and some of you, I could see some of you in my mind's eye putting up your hands as well. Because I know some of you are sports fans. You really like watching sports. Some of you really like the Leafs. Sorry about your season, but it could be the best thing that's ever happened for the Leafs. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding, guys. Just kidding. Some of you like the Blue Jays. Some of you like the Argos, or you like an opposing team. Personally, I like golf. I like watching the Masters at this time of year. And so at this time of year, please correct me if I'm wrong, but I would assume that the NHL playoffs would be in full season, in full swing at this time. You can answer on Facebook if you want. I really don't know. I would assume that that the playoffs would have started already. I know that the baseball season would have started, so we could watch hockey and baseball pretty much every day then. And then, of course, then I'm getting into the Masters and golf, pro golf, which also happens on the weekend. So for sports spectators, this is a big time of year. There's lots going on. And the one thing about sports and watching sports is that you get behind a team or a player. So, for instance, I said I like golf. I like Phil Mickelson. He's my favorite golfer. Now, Phil's getting a little bit older these days, but then so am I. But Phil's a little bit older right now. But I love the way that Phil is not afraid to take charge and take that shot that looks impossible and pull it off sometimes. And sometimes it goes way, way wrong for him. But a lot of times he nails that one shot that you don't think that he can make. And I love that. And especially, I like watching the Masters at this time of year, not because I like watching golf. I dream of being on the golf course myself. I dream of that time of that, you know, you can spend that leisure time out in the green, on the greens, and you're walking around in golf shirts, then short sleeve shirts, and you're taking full advantage of the weather that's at hand. And this time of year around here, you really can't do that, and COVID-19 sort of thrown that to the wind too. But now, like, we like watching our teams, and so I get behind Phil Mickelson. Some of you get behind the Toronto Maple Leafs. Some of you get behind the Blue Jays, etc. You get behind them. You are for them. You are cheering them on. You are all about them. In the text today, God says that he's for us. What does that mean? Is God really for us the way that we are for a team or that we're for a certain player? Well, yeah. Yeah. God is your biggest fan. God is your largest fan. He wants you to succeed. He wants you to get to that place of success. He wants you to prevail. He wants you to be that person who keeps on going. God is the one who is your biggest fan. Now let that sink in for a moment. Because when I saw the text today, this week, and I was reading it over, this kept on coming up to me. God is for us. That's amazing. Almighty God. You know, the God who created all of this that we see around us, who created us, each other, and the situation that we're in even allowed us to live through this time, he is for us. He wants us to continue. He wants us to succeed. But God is so much more than just a cheerleader section. Okay? God is way more than that. Because God not only wants to come and help us, cheer us on, to say, okay, God says, standing in the stands of the Air Canada Center or the Rogers Center, and you're on the field or on the ice, And he's cheering you on. He's not just saying, go, 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 go. He is saying, I'm going to help you go. In fact, I'm going to give you everything that you need so that you can succeed. This is the truth about Almighty God. And Paul relays that today in the text. He says, in verse 32, he says, he who did not spare his own son, talking about God, God who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? How will God, who gave up Christ, Jesus, for us, who died and who rose again, how will he not also give us all things? Because Christ, Jesus, is the biggest thing that God did. He did not save his own son so that you and I could succeed. In fact, God gave up his son so that you and I could succeed. So that we could be forgiven of our sin, and so that we, through Christ's death, and so that we could have eternal life that Christ paved the way for, he's given us that means to succeed. So how, and Paul's asking this question rhetorically, of course. He's saying, God would just lavish you with everything else. Why wouldn't he? He's already given you everything. Why wouldn't he just give you more? And so God's giving us all things so that we can succeed. Wow. Wow. And all things means that we have the means, the ability, the determination, the drive, the energy to do all the stuff that is necessary for success. In fact, Christ himself, says Paul, is interceding for us. Jesus himself, who is sitting at the right hand of God in that place of authority over heaven and earth, is praying to God the Father on your behalf, on my behalf. Not only that, but if you go back in Romans 8 to verse 26, you'll see that the Spirit helps us in our weakness as well. As Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know how we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. So not only does God the Son, Jesus, pray for our behalf, but the Spirit himself, God the Spirit, is praying for us on our behalf because God the Spirit is living within us because Christ has made it so. You see, Jesus has given us everything that we need to succeed. And so what have we got to fear? Nothing. Paul says, who's the one who condemns them? No one. No one can hold a candle to God. And so we have to ask ourselves, who, and then Paul asks this question. He says, so who shall separate us from the love of Christ? From the love of Christ. And then he asks these questions, shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? And then he answers, after he quotes Psalm 44, he answers, he says, no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Wow. So God gives us everything that we need to succeed so that we don't have to fear, so that we are not condemned by the bad things that happen in our lives, like trouble or nakedness or hardship or persecution or famine or danger or sword. If we are not condemned by these things, if these things can't affect us because of the love of Christ, because Jesus' love is not going to, these things won't separate us from Jesus' love, we got a maid in the shade. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. That's what Paul's saying here, and he says it again too, and I'll get to that in a moment. To give us that success that we need. Now, I've been talking a lot about success, haven't I? And this is where we need to come into this place where we ask, what is this success that I'm talking about? Because there are several people who are Christian who claim that, well, God says right here that I'm going to have it, I'm going to get everything I want. And that's my success. So I'll have all the toys, or I'll have that multi-million dollar investment, no problem. Or I'll have whatever it is, I'll have all the power in the world. And this is how I will be successful. That's not what God's saying here. And that's not what Paul's saying here. Paul doesn't look at success in that view. Paul looks at success like he is given eternal life. Because that's the prize. That's your success. That's my success. Is having eternal life. Because that's what God has done. That's how God has made us in the first place. That's how God made humanity. He made humanity to live with him forever. And when we mess that up with sin, then God now makes that available to us again through Christ, to the point where he himself is living within us to help us and guide us through life so that we will live forever with him. That's the success I'm talking about. The other success is more earthly success, the power and the wealth and all that stuff. And so we need to be careful that we don't go down that road, that pathway too much. The wealth that we do have could be a spin-off of our life like that. But be careful. And Christ says this, or Paul says this, sorry. He says, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. We are winners. So God is cheering us on, and we are winners. But notice he's not saying you're a winner. He's saying you're a conqueror, which means that you are conquering trouble and hardship and persecution and famine and nakedness and danger and sword. That all the things, all the negative things, all the bad things that are happening in this world right now that you may be experiencing because of the struggle that we are in right now, especially with COVID-19 and all of the ramifications thereof. If you know somebody who's affected by it, or if you're struggling with being indoors or being out of work, or if you're struggling not knowing when the end of this is going to be, or if you're ill at this time and you're really worried about going to the hospital because you may get more sick, and it goes on and on and on. And you all know what I'm talking about. We are conquerors over that stuff. We are winners over that stuff because of Christ's love for us. And Paul goes on now, and he says in verse 38 and 39, and for those of you who are on track with your memory verses for the months that we've led up to this point, this is the memory verses for May and for May. I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Wow. Notice how abstract these things are. So, nothing's going to separate us from the love of God. Not even death. Not even life. Not even angels or demons, these celestial beings who are so, who can fade in and fade out of our lives. Neither the present nor the future. What lies ahead in your future cannot separate you from the love of Christ, nor what can right now. Neither height nor depth. How high is high? How deep is deep? Nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of Jesus Christ. But the love of God in Christ our Lord. At this time when we're filled with unsureness and insecurity and fear and struggling as this pandemic keeps on going, and especially in our area, and we're maybe doing physically okay and all that stuff, we need to hear a message like this, that not even that will draw God's love for us away. And by that, we are more than conquerors. We are winners. God not only has given us the means, He's not only cheering us on, but He is making sure that we have everything at our disposal that we can succeed at life. At life. And that starts today for you and for me. Today. Eternal life for the Christian is now, not sometime after I pass away. It begins now. And that's what makes us feel this big pressure valve of relief. Just steam goes away. We feel the relief and the comfort that comes with that. And the one teaching document that puts this out the best, in my opinion, is Heidelberg Catechism answer, question and answer number 1. And I will read this for your benefit. What is your only comfort in life and in death? That I am not my own, but belong body and soul, both in life and in death, to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for all my sins with His precious blood and has set me free from the power of the devil. He also preserves me in such a way that without the will of my heavenly Father, not a hair can fall from my head. Indeed, all things must work together for my salvation. You'll find that in Romans 8, verse 28, by the way. Therefore, by His Holy Spirit, He also assures me of eternal life and makes me heartily willing and ready from now on to live for Him. We get life in Christ. Our prize is that. That is our success. Praise be to God. May He go with you through this time of struggle, and may you understand that you are a conqueror of all the bad things that are happening around us. In Christ. Amen. Let's come to God in a time of prayer. Lord, it's easy to get caught up in all the muck and the mire that we are in right now. What seems like it's insurmountable amount of bad information or negative information. As we learn that hundreds of people are still testing positive every day, as we are hearing, you know, certain struggles in certain areas of the world, as we are hearing about the bad news that happened in Nova Scotia, as we are hearing the bad news that is happening all over the world, Lord, God, we pray that You would allow us to see the love of Christ in it all, so that we may see how You are working, so that we may see you cheering us on, that we may have eternal life and have it to the full. Watch over us, God, we pray in Jesus. Amen. Let's sing, In You is Gladness.